Safety Talk here on KWHI. Greg Montana being joined by, I can't even say it no more, not no longer a corporal. It is now Sergeant Jimmy Morgan.
Ladies and gentlemen, give a hand for Sergeant
Morgan.
Sergeant Jimmy Morgan.
I can hear him clapping.
We're proud of you. A promotion since the last time we saw you.
I just found this out.
You just found out?
Yeah.
Craig, Jimmy's got all that gold on. He's got gold stripes, gold button. I'm going to get him a gold tooth.
Styling and profiling.
Styling and profiling.
They said I was on the cut, but I had a lifeline.
No.
That's what saved me.
Oh, well, you know, as long as you got one of those. Then.
Yeah. So. Anyway, I'm glad to be here.
We're glad to have you back. It's been about a month since we've seen you, man.
Well, there's a lot been going on.
Yeah, you've been busy. You've been a lot of stuff going on. And, of course, we just heard Sergeant Steve Woodard, who's no stranger to the Safety Talk as well.
And I also have my lieutenant with me today, Craig Cummings. So he's decided to join in and listen in a little bit. And he may throw in a little comment every now and then. But
okay.
So he kind of wanted to come up and see what this was all about.
It's a fun time of him.
So I'm kind of getting graded today.
Well, see, you just made sergeant. Now they're going to, you know, give you a review.
Yeah, they're
again.
Really going after me now.
Yeah, you're
so there's something to be said if you can stay low profile. Well, that's not the case no more.
That's all right. But congratulations to you once again for the promotion.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And again, we're here. If you have questions for any kind of roadways, highways, byways, backways, waterways, skyways, anything to do with laws around Texas, we're here to answer questions. 979-836-9937 is the number in the studio. Of course, we'll take your questions by email as well. Mail, M-A-I-L, at KWHI.com. If you have your questions, they will be answered in some form or fashion. By Sergeant Jimmy Morgan here today.
Well, to start off today, I want to appreciate today's sponsorship by Country Boys. I stopped there today along with the lieutenant. Everything was looking good, and coffee was good. And tried out one of them, you know, kolache thing. Look, that was pretty good, too.
Oh, but, you didn't invite Steve with you?
No, well, he got the invite. He just missed it.
Oh,
you know, I've been
up.
With Country Boys before. It's some good food.
It is.
It was
but anyway,
exceptional.
I want to appreciate them sponsoring today's program, and I have a $10 gift certificate for the trivia question that I decided to come up with today. So as we move on, I'll decide kind of what that trivia question is. And so it does pay to listen to today's program. So I like to come back and say, look, 4th of July, it was a very quiet 4th of July for my district. And that was the case until July the 5th. And when July the 5th got here, I had two major fatality accidents, one that was just commented on with Ed over in Grimes County. Unfortunately, we had a head-on collision. You know, this kind of reminds me when we talk about accidents and some of the things that we talk on this program, one of the things I try to do is try to look at these crashes and try to point out things to keep other people being involved in these type of accidents. And we've talked about it before that when you are going on trips or if it's or something, just, you know, a lot of people get complacent around their own hometowns and stuff, and we know 70% of all the accidents would happen within 10 miles of your residence. So a lot of that because we just get complacent. And if you are not paying attention to the roadway, if somebody is traveling 70 miles an hour, 102 feet per second, and if you're not mentally prepared for that vehicle crossing over the center stripe, I hate to tell you this, you really don't have a chance to do anything about that situation. So looking down the road, seeing what's going on around you, having that proper following distance, and having a plan in your mind how you're going to react if that vehicle crosses the roadway, this is one of them. If you're not mentally prepared to make that move, the chances are you're not going to be able to make the move when somebody actually crosses your roadway. So that's why you always hear me talk about, especially when you have these four-lane roadways, the outside lane is definitely the most safest lane to be in because you're allowing that faster traffic, the emergency traffic, and you're also giving yourself another lane. Hopefully you got a left turn lane, some grass meeting or something going along with that, that it's going to allow you to take that evasive action, that extra time, to maybe, yeah, you may get hit, but you're going to prevent that head-on collision because you're talking about combined speed now of 140 miles an hour. Mm. And I just hate to tell you, your chances, seatbelt and all, are not very good.
Well, talk about evasive action. Craig, if you took a ruler and laid it on a yellow line
okay.
on back of the, you know, the County Roads, Farnamark Road. Mm-hmm. How wide do you think that line will be?
The center line?
The center line.
6 inches.
All
take
right.
A, take
all
a guess
right.
at it.
The double yellow line. How wide do you think that thing will be?
Foot and a half?
Anywhere from 12 to 14 inches. Here's the deal. You're literally a handshake away from getting ran over. So it's going to be up to you as the driver to be defensive. If you see that individual cross that yellow line, you got to move over. At the same time, a lot of these crashes are happening due to DWI drivers and folks talking on the cell phone, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We just have to share the road, Jimmy.
Well, you know, and you bring up a really good point, Stephen, for your listeners, Craig Cummings. Doing crash reconstruction for a long part of my career, the average human perception reaction time is about 1.5 seconds. So when Jimmy's talking about 102 feet per second, we're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of 130, 140 feet that you'll travel before the vehicle begins any evasive action. And then when distraction is involved or intoxication is involved, it simply increases that perception reaction distance. So that just creates more of a problem, not only for the driver, but for other drivers that are on the highway. So when we're talking about safety, it's extremely important to calculate into that, that perception reaction time, because that 1.5 seconds applies to absolutely everybody.
Every now and then I'll get a question that we got a call that's letting me know.
We have a phone call.
Okay, I'll stop right where I'm at.
All right. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. You have a question for us.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay, I had a question for Sergeant Morgan. This is regarding I'm keeping our granddaughter. And what is the Texas law regarding the age and height before a child can ride in the front seat with a belt?
Okay. That's a good question there. Obviously, if the child is under 4'9" or under the age of 8, then that child's going to have to be required to be in a child seat. Well, I say that either or. If the child's over 8 or over 4'9", the child then can be put in a safety seat, a seat belt combination deal. We recommend that look at the child, even though your child's over 4'9" or maybe over at the age of 8, we recommend to take a look at that child. And if you certainly by at that age, you're probably going to have some kind of a booster seat system in that vehicle. If the seat belt is not fitting across the chest like it should, then that child should really stay in that booster seat system so the seat belt itself goes across the chest and then it works the way it's supposed to design, it's supposed to work. So just because you hear these 4'9", 8", that don't mean it really is a good thing to do for all children. And so I think it comes down to the child and how the safety seat system is working for you or the booster seat before you go straight to a seatbelt system.
Yes, sir. Okay, that helps a lot. She's about 5'2" and 12 years old.
Okay. So. Now again, obviously age and height-wise, you're looking that she's not required to be in a booster seat or safety seat. However, as a parent, you need to look at that and see how that seatbelt is working. And you know what? Cars are designed differently. They have different types of seats and stuff. So it may depend on one vehicle. She may do okay. The other vehicle may be a little sketchy whether or not you don't keep her in some kind of a booster seat system.
Okay. That's very helpful, and thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
There you go. Thank you for the phone call today, 979-836-9937 or mail mail at kwhi.com to get a hold of Sergeant Morgan this morning on
that's
Safety
hard to
Talk.
Listen to. I can't get used to that.
To get used to it. I mean, the listeners, they've already caught on to it. Man. They know.
Well, let's see. Where we are as a state, last time the post-it from TxDOT is we're up to 1,738 fatalities halfway through the year now, and so as we know, we average anywhere from 34 to 3,600 fatalities on our Texas highway, and certainly on pace to do that again, and we're at 267 a month and 8.9 deaths per day on our highway, and certainly like when we have these double fatality stuff, far as stats and stuff like that, it certainly adds to that, and like I said, we're trying to do everything to keep these numbers down lower and try to save lives on this program. And this, again, we have not had a deathless day on our state highway since November 7th, year 2000. So just kind of remind people of that. And really, You know, I went on vacation. Last year I didn't go on a vacation. And I said I went on vacation. Well, it was kind of a vacation. But anyway, I do pay attention when I go on vacation. Sometimes I see more out of my private vehicle than I do in my patrol vehicle.
Yeah, I believe that.
I think people kind of get on their best behavior when they get around. That's what they tell me anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I see the following too close. I see people cutting over two and three lanes, not using turn signals. It's a me world out there, and get out of my way. And I see it like everybody else does. And, you know, I was telling the lieutenant today that, you know, this program that I have, it's the 20 years as a state trooper and working crashes, enforcing traffic laws, my background that helps me do the job that I'm doing now, because I've worked all these crashes and I've stopped all the. And, you know, you just try to, as a trooper, go out there and try to make a difference and try to make it safe for everybody else to use the highways. But it's upsetting to know that in just like a normal group, all it takes is one or two persons on a highway to make it worse, bad for everybody, mm-hmm. and cause a major wreck. And certainly, I always encourage people, and you don't have to wait till the holidays, but if you're seeing somebody drive so grossly negligent out there that's going to lead to an accident, that's a 911 call. And we'll certainly try to get some type of officer out there on location to see if we can get that vehicle stopped. But it's frustrating when you're in that private vehicle not able to do anything about some of the things that you see. So, but again, it's all about preparing for the trip, regardless how short the trip is. That's mentally, that's your vehicle maintenance, and everything goes along with it, and allowing the time to case in case for your traffic, for whatever stops, your meal breaks, whatever your gasoline breaks, allowing all that, and then give yourself plenty of time, proper following distance. And then if you find yourself when you do these kind of things that you tend to stay out of some of the accidents that we talk about. It's the people that are running late, get in a hurry, that tend to take chances, and all of a sudden now they're involved in an accident.
I think we're getting the phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. Have your question?
Yeah, I have a question, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
Highway 290, overpass at 577 and Market Street, is giving way. There's about three big bumps on both the east and west side that as these trucks go over, they're leaving black tire marks and blowing out tires. And even the entrance ramps have got some tremendous bumps. It's all giving way. What do we do to get that fixed?
Well, you probably already done it. If TxDOT's listening, you're probably already done it. But sometimes they do. I know exactly what you're talking about. I had visited with them. You know, they had a little spot before, and I'd visit with them about it. And what they normally try to do is core down and try to see what's actually going on with the soil and to see how they need to address it. But apparently some of the material that was used to build the highway has settled in and has created this void that you're talking about. And I'm sure TxDOT is kind of aware of the program. Now, what they're going to do, what the plan of action is, that will be a question for them to answer, and that's certainly who I would pass you on to would be TxDOT, because they're certainly are the ones who are in charge of the highways and stuff, as far as how they're built and all that good stuff. But I would just kind of make a phone call to them and place your concerns and see what they can tell you, what they're if they're aware of it, and if they are, what they plan on doing that. But certainly that would be a question. For
well, I greatly appreciate that, because they worked on it some a year and a half ago, and it helped a little bit, but it sunk right back down again. Right. So I will give them a call and at least lodge my complaint with them.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for the phone call.
One of the things to take in consideration is that Texas, depending where you are, is made up of all kinds of type of dirt and mm-hmm. movement. And certainly Milam County, where I'm from, is certainly, it's a two-part county. We got black land in some of the county, and then we got sandy loam in parts of the other. And certainly, depending, these roadways are affected by the movement of this dirt, especially when you have shrinkage, when you have rain, then when you don't have rain. We all sit in a yard. That's why people tell you the water around your house. Well, there's no difference between water around your house then what were you dealing on the highway? Same, you know, the ground contracts and stuff like that. So obviously, it's kind of what's kind of going on with some of the highways now. We've had the rain. Now it's starting to dry up. So certainly, it's taking a toll on that. And TxDOT, I was visiting with TxDOT, a member of TxDOT the other day, that they're having this, you know, the flooding that we had earlier in the month, this past month, has really done some damage, and they're having to go back and try to fix some of these areas. So I'm sure they're aware of it. Obviously, you know, we as people, we kind of like things fixed the next day, but sometimes that don't happen. So
that number out there for TxDOT out there in Brenham for the location, 979-836-9359, and they'll be able to take care of you. Old Mark's waiting on you.
Yeah.
All right. And well, while we're talking about tires, and I'm sorry, Craig, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you want to, we're going to take a break here in just a minute or so if you want to finish up this little thought right here.
All right, go ahead, Lieutenant.
Yeah, I was just going to give a point about tires. A lot of folks overlook them just because the amount of time it takes to change those is pretty intrusive to your schedule, especially getting ready to go out there for a vacation. But, you know, there's been multiple fatalities that I have been on, and then one of the causative factors is the tires, not the tires not being the equal size and or the tires not having the good tread depth on it. So before you're getting ready to take a vacation this summer, please take an opportunity to look at those tires, take a biomechanic shop, have them look at it and make sure the tire pressure is good before you get going down the highway.
All right, there we go.
Let's take that break you were talking about.
We'll do that. Let you guys get some fresh coffee here. Okay. We'll come back with more safety talk here on KWHI. Once again, phone calls 979-836-9937 or you can email us here in studio mail, mail at kwhi.com. We'll be back right after this.
Did the recent storms damage your trees? Do you have trees that need attention due to broken limbs or are almost completely uprooted? Time to call Rogers Tree Service in Brenham. Rogers Tree Service can cut off those broken limbs and trim limbs that are in danger of breaking off during the next storm. Call Rogers Tree Service at 979-836-4517. They've been servicing the trees of Washington County for over 30 years and wish to thank all their customers for their patronage. Rogers Tree Service in Brenham, going out on a limb for you. Call 979-836-4517.
Town & Country Realty & Mortgage, a mortgage and realtor in one stop. Ever wonder where to start when buying a home? Let Town & Country do the worrying for you. Visit their friendly lending staff to find out how much house you can afford. Then step across the hall to work with an experienced buyer agent who represents only you in the buying process. There's a reason Town & Country Realty & Mortgage was again voted your favorite real estate company. Don't you deserve superior service too? Find them online at liveinbrenham.com. They'll be waiting for you.
Friendly Country KWHI will be at Brenham Nursing and Rehabilitation Center at 400 East Sales Street on Thursday, July the 14th for the fan drive. Go out and make your electric fan donation between 10 a.m. and noon. We'll be there with the wagon wheel of prizes, where every spin is free and every spin is a win. This fan drive is brought to you by Brenham Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, Traditions Home Health and Hospice, and their co-sponsors, Walmart and Home Depot. We'll be there. Hope to see you there as well for the third annual fan drive in Brenham.
Can you smell it? The wonderful smell of a barbecue is a delicious, familiar smell in the Brazos Valley. Get your fill of delicious barbecue this Sunday, July 10th, while supporting the Somerville Volunteer Fire Department's 41st Annual Barbecue and Auction. Get your barbecue plates at St. Anne Catholic Church on Thornberry Drive in Somerville from 11 till 1. Tickets are $10 per person. Barbecue by the pound is also available, and an auction starts at 12 o'clock noon. Support the Somerville Fire Department fundraiser this Sunday, July 10th in Somerville.
Retirement, a college education, buying a home. The big decisions in life require a great deal of thought and discussion. That's why nearly 2.4 million members turn to Thrivent Financial, a not-for-profit financial services organization of Christians, for sound financial advice. You can too. We'll work with you to create a wise financial strategy to help you reach your goals. In Brenham, call your Brenham area associate at 979-836-0693.
Howdy, H-Town. Have you heard it? The rumbling racing across the prairie. Typhoon Texas is open daily. Experience the fun and save. Bring any Mountain Dew or Pepsi product to receive $8 off full adult admission tickets for a limited time. Make your own memories now at Typhoon Texas. Experience all-around family fun and save $8 with any Mountain Dew or Pepsi product. Get your tickets and passes at TyphoonTexas.com. Now's the time. Experience Typhoon Texas.
And yes, once again, welcome back to Safety Talk here on KWHI. Craig Montana and joined by Stars and Bars in here, man. We've got Sergeant Lieutenant here from the DPS. So they've got any kind of questions you have, they give you answer today. And Sergeant Morgan, again, I mean, I just can't tell you how proud I am of you. Congratulations on your promotion.
Well, thank you.
And I know...
my wife says she's happy.
I bet she is. Now, there was a...
Her second question.
Yeah, a little payoff.
I don't remember the first question was. Her second question was, well, what is... How much more money is that?
Yeah, it's a little pay bump, right?
I say it's a deduction. Oh, man.
Well, congratulations again. And I'll tell you what, you guys went to some coffee while you were away, man. They were calling.
Yeah. Well, that's what they do here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's what
That's why
do.
You have the number one rated show here in Texas.
Oh, well, hey, listen to that.
Not me. It's you.
Me. It's not me. It's them. The folks calling
well,
in.
Well, we appreciate them listening.
And yeah, they
obviously, what I like, and I've always stressed this, what I like on this radio program is when people are calling in, it keeps me on my toes. It lets me have an idea what is the concerns of the motoring public, especially in my district. And I know, you know, today's program, we're certainly going beyond my district, and I don't. That's why we got Stephen here and the lieutenant, whether. But, however, it gives us the concern. So if we're able to make that phone call or we're able to do something as an agency to improve things, certainly this is a way to monitor that, and we certainly appreciate the phone questions that you have in.
And speaking of questions, we got a phone call here we'll get to here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. You have a question?
That real quick question. On your big trucks and, like, if you're hauling material in a dump truck or whatever, is every load required to be parked, or what is the law for that?
Basically, you get exemption on your agriculture loads, but other than your sands and your gravels and your stuff that can be blown out by wind current will have to be tarped.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That answered my question.
Yes, sir. Thanks for your question.
Appreciate your show, sir.
Appreciate the phone call today. And we had a couple of phone calls off the air a while ago. One person called in and want to know if, like, you know, the concern with the roadway, if TxDOT would take, like, concerns of the DPS officer, would they weigh it more than they say, like, just a regular citizen calling in for the same concern?
Well, let's see if I can answer that in a... I don't think Jimmy Morgan has any more pull than John Doe Citizen out there. But what I can tell you is it's been my experience throughout my career that working accidents and stuff, if there's a stretch of highway where the troopers or law enforcement has been called out to work several accidents in a certain area, it's going to cause a red flag to go up to figure out what is going on in that area that we're working so many crashes. So not who I am, but just far as the investigation. So, and I think if we're having an area where we're having a lot more crashes in other areas, I think TxDOT's going to look at that a little closer and to see if what the fix is, if they can do anything to improve that situation. You know, I'll give you an example of that. Sometimes over the years, your asphalt tends to wear out, and when during the rain season and stuff like that, the roads tend to get slick. Well, you've seen TxDOT come back and groove the highway until they're ready to come back at a later date to come back and resurface that roadway, because it's just a stretch of roadway where a lot of people are losing traction and we're having accidents. And so I would say, because of that, not so much who I am, it's just the business of what our agency does, that I think TxDOT monitors that. And certainly they keep the data off the crash reports that we turn in. So this stuff, you'll always hear me refer to TxDOT as far as posting fatalities and these kind of accidents. They have the records that on our highways of where the cracks are happening, why they're happening, the contributing factors. So I think that's important. And certainly we work a lot of these type of crashes. But I would say that would throw a red flag if a number of crashes in a certain stretch of highway.
Okay. Got another phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk. Do you have a question?
I can answer that one.
call back. They may have got to start hanging around.
That guy was from Mars. That guy was from Mars, man. You didn't tell me we reached Mars, did you?
Well, I think you probably answered this question already.
Radio waves, they go, man. Let me tell you. Another phone call off the air here. Somebody want to know what a protocol would be. Say I'm driving down the highway, I get pulled over, and I've got a weapon in my vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
What is the protocol to go through when that happens?
Well, first of all, don't get pulled over.
That'll solve it. That's a good thing. That'll start with a tail light, anything minor infraction.
Right.
But you get pulled over.
All right. So here's the deal. The best thing, you know, I was telling the lieutenant this about their overall nature of a traffic enforcement officer, is that a lot of people, you know, unless you have a chance to ride with an officer, which, hey, I encourage that. If you can get somebody to do a ride-along, if you really want to know how law enforcement works and you have that opportunity, don't pass that up. Because I can tell you by the end of the day or the night, you're going to have a little bit different perspective what an officer has to go through. Some of the things he's looking for in decision making, and some of the things that you will not see on a video camera, and he has to trust his instinct based on the training and experience that he's had in the past that's going to lead to him what decision or what direction he's going to go. But I will tell you this: the number one thing you can do if you get stopped is put your. And I always tell people this: look, this insurance paper and stuff, all that. You need to have that stuff where you know where it's at. I like to see that kind of stuff above the visor. If the officer asks for the insurance, he can still see your hands. He's still relaxed, whatever, and all that good stuff. If you do have a weapon, whether you're licensed or not licensed, tell the officer, look, for your safety and mine, I'm letting you know that I have a weapon in the glove box or underneath the seat, whatever it may be. You're up front. You're honest about it. He can make the decision at that point how he wants to, based on their department policy or how he wants to handle that. But being upfront and honest is the number one thing to do. He may ask you to get out of the car and leave the weapon where it's at. He may want to look at, depending on what department, what agency, and all the other circumstances going around the traffic stop is going to be based on what he's going to want you to do. So he may ask you to step outside. And that's why I always tell ladies, if you do get stopped and officers ask you to step outside, there's a lot of things going on. Certainly the amount of traffic on the roadway where he has you stop, he may, as we've seen on plenty of films now, officers getting struck while they're on traffic stop. So asking you to get out of the car, stepping outside the roadway is for your safety and his. Or he may do what we call a passenger side approach now. You see a lot of officers doing that. And that's one of the reasons why they're doing that, because we've seen over time that, you know, the pace based on the highway, how far the person got off the roadway, it may be the safer approach to do that. But I think just keeping your hands where they can be seen and doing what don't do anything unless the officer tells you. Don't get out of the car. If he wants you out of the car, he'll get you. I have old-timers tell me all the time. I said, well, I got out of the car. I wanted to shake the officer's hand, and he told me to get back in the car. I said, well, I said, it never did bother me as a trooper that somebody got out as long as I could see their hands, because that's what's going to kill an officer is the hands. Feet, mouth, and all that don't do nothing. So if I can see somebody's hands, I feel like I'm good. Of course, I'm going to watch and see body language in law enforcement means a whole lot. And you can kind of tell when somebody's teed off or somebody has that happy face going on. They just want to be genuine, polite, shake a hand, step off the road, and all this good stuff. So there's a lot of things going on the officer's trying to size up. Within seconds, you have to make that decision. Good stop, bad stop, what am I dealing with here? And it's hard to do. I mean, I would say to the average person getting stopped, hands on the wheel, insurance papers, stay still. If you have this window tint going on, obviously, if you can crack the window or roll your window down or whatever, where he can see plainly in the car, probably will help him, especially at nighttime, whatever it may be. But don't do anything, reaching for anything, until the officer gives you the command to do so. He'll definitely tell you exactly what he wants you to do. And I think that's the best advice I can give.
You know, Jimmy, I recall several years ago I'd made a traffic stop, and the people become very familiar with these guns that they've got in their vehicle. And if they don't tell the officer that the gun is there, they just grab it like they normally would. And so I had stopped this individual, got out of the car. His insurance was in his briefcase. I asked him to get the insurance. Well, when he opened the briefcase up, there was his gun. And not thinking about it, he reached in and grabbed his gun. And so for a little bit of time, he and I were in that moment of, and it seems like a whole lot of time when you're going through it, but when you actually go back and look at the video, it's just a very small period of time that you know, the officer has to make that decision over, does the person have some malicious intent, or are they just grabbing it to move it out of the way?
Right.
And so after we got done with it all, obviously he didn't have any malicious intent. He just grabbed by accident. So if somebody's got a gun out there, that's the other reason to make sure they inform the law enforcement officer. Is so if something like that happens, they at least have the idea that that the gun is there, and so if it comes up, they can be prepared for it.
I find a lot of people, especially depending what kind of pistol it is, they want to show the officer, hey, have you seen anything like this before? Hey, he may ask you what kind it is, but that don't mean go grab it, okay?
Yeah.
So be easy on that. But, yeah, a lot of people want to show what kind of and they may ask you questions about it. Well, what do you think about it? Is that kind of, or what do you carry? You know, so people just kind of like to show off their sidearms sometimes, and I understand that. But again, just be mindful what the officer is having to do, and just wait on what instructions he may give you before you start grabbing for things. Is that it? Is that another question?
No, that's what we had so far.
Okay.
You went in depth. Anyone has a question? 979-836-9937 number in the studio, or you know, shoot us an email here. As always, email is mail, M-A-I-L at KWHI.com.
And, you know, Jimmy, on that, you could talk about action versus reaction and what the officer has to do when they confront somebody. If the person brings out that weapon or brings out that knife and decides to attack the officer, they're always going to be the first one with the gun, with a bullet out of the gun, or be the first one that ends up penetrating the officer with that knife or whatever object that they've got. It's just the officer has to be constantly prepared and thinking ahead about what the individual is going to be doing. And so it's not just thinking about what's going to happen the next 2 or 3 seconds as much as it is thinking about what can happen the next 30 seconds or a minute, and making sure that they're taking plans to avoid the person getting a hold of a gun, whatever the case may be, because once that gun gets in the person's hands, there's absolutely nothing that they're going to be able to do other than simply react to that threat within a very short period of time. So when people talk about having guns and stuff out there, those are some of the thoughts that go through the officer's mind, is that once that gun is brought into the person's hand, now it's a position where sometimes at best they're hoping that the officer, that the individual shooting the officer just simply misses.
Well, that's a valid point. Let me ask you this. I'm sitting here debating
Quick. Oh, we had a phone call. Real quick.
Okay.
Get this. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today.
Yes, I have a question. When you're on a 4-lane highway and you meet a funeral procession, what is the protocol for that? Do you pull off to the right and stop until the procession has gone by, or do you keep going? I pulled off the other day, and I put my signal on and pulled off the side of the road and stopped, and I waited for the funeral procession to go by, and all the other cars just whizzed by me like nothing was happening.
Well, there's two ways to look at that. The law does not require you to pull over. People pull over because of respect, and that's what you did. Fortunately, we lost a lot of respect out there on the highway.
Right.
So now I will tell you, I will tell you this: when you make that decision that that's what you want to do, make sure you're not doing something that will cause an accident.
Right.
If it's something that you're going to have to do, I know everybody wants to pay the respect, and I understand that. I certainly do when I can. But there is some times that you just don't want to, first of all, you don't want to stop in the roadway.
No.
But if you've got an improved shoulder and you can pull off the side of the road and that's something you want to do, obviously you're going to be okay doing that. But if you're going to have to do some type of quick maneuver that may lead to an accident over that, you certainly don't want to do that.
No.
And that's understandable. But pulling over for funeral processions are basically out of respect, but not required by law.
Right. I appreciate the answer. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for the phone call. There we go. Anything to do with the roadways, you guys got an answer for it, right?
Yes.
Well, I'll come up with something.
Give us something.
Hey, have I ever asked how long the move over law has been in effect?
Yes.
Maybe.
As a trivia? That's my trivia.
Okay.
How long has the move over law been in effect?
Okay, there we go. For $10.
We're talking about officers on the side of the roadway and all that. That's my trivia.
Okay.
What year was the move over law put in effect? How about that one?
Answer.
For $10.
Yeah.
Country boys. There it is right there.
No, the answer, 979-836-9937.
I get you a breakfast right there. So.
Get you something good. Something good anytime right there.
Every time I hold that up, Craig's eyes get big or something.
Are you kidding me?
So why is it do we have more people evading law enforcement now? You ever realize that? The last 6 months to a year, I've seen more teletypes and where people are evading law enforcement. And I don't understand. Is there something going on out there? I don't.
Maybe they think I'm the one that's going to get away. I can get away. I can beat it. I'm smarter than, I guess.
Well, it's certainly
ego.
I certainly like to talk about it because just to throw out there, we don't like pursuing vehicles. It's not something we like to do. Whatever, what people think, that's something we wish we didn't have to do. Obviously, there's some situations that we have to, depending on the circumstances, we make the choice whether continue pursuit or call off the pursuit. But it is a state jail felony to do that, whether it be in a vehicle or a watercraft. So I'll put one out there for the game wardens out there on the boats. So don't run from them either. That's a state jail felony. That's just if there's no accident or people injured. So it goes. So it does move up the chain. A little bit far as seriousness, but for whatever reason, I just wanted to visit a little bit about that today and remind people that you may not be the one being pursued. You may look over and see an officer coming towards you. It may be a split-lane highway. You know, a lot of people call in today and say, hey, four-lane highway, whatever. Well, you know, that the car they're pursuing may not be on their side of the roadway. It may be on your side of the roadway. So, again, looking down the roadway, getting that 10 or 12 seconds out, paying attention to what's going on in front of you, you may realize that they're on the other side of the road, but the one they're looking for is on your side of the road driving down the wrong side. In Houston, Steve can tell you all about wrong side of the road driving down the highway over there.
Unfortunately, we just had a young lady that was killed leaving a party because the Houston Police Department was chasing an individual that was intoxicated. And unfortunately, that young lady and her boyfriend are going home because an individual decided to not only run from the police, but drive while intoxicated. So you're right, Jimmy. I think Craig hit a good point. I think folks, it's an ego issue. I think folks think that they have just their own right. Mm-hmm. You know, Jimmy can tell you now, we've chased folks. And they're just trying to get to their house. We chase them, and they drive all the way into their driveway. Anytime that those red and blues come on, and a police officer, trooper, or a deputy is behind you, that means stop.
Mm-hmm.
That means stop in a safe place for not only you, but the law enforcement officer. That way we can take care of our business. But if you run, unfortunately, it's going to be dire consequences.
Yeah. Because you guys also have the resources. I mean, not only the vehicles, but, you know, air. You know, you got helicopters. I mean, somebody runs, they're going to get caught.
Sure. We have a huge aircraft section mm-hmm. that has over three aircrafts that cover 35 counties. So we do have the resources mm-hmm. not only for ourselves but for our other law enforcement partners and the public.
Okay. And yeah, we got a phone call here real quickly. Good morning on Safety Talk today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Safety Talk.
Good morning.
Good morning. What can I do for you today?
2003, was that it when the pullover law was implemented?
You got her.
Somebody used Google.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, look at that. Congratulations.
Somebody used Google.
I'll give Craig the card for you. But, you know, yeah, 2003. You know, some people act like they ain't heard of it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, stay on the line.
They're going on
for
about 13 years now.
Yeah, right.
Stay in line with me real quick. I'll put you on hold, and we'll get you taken care of, okay?
Not a problem. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for listening. Yeah, 2003, yeah. Sometimes you talk to people, how long has that law been in effect? Like it's been yesterday or something.
You know, I did a commercial with about 17 different state police law enforcement agencies on the move over law. And we all talked about how we all have our own families and we're trying to get home. Just give us a little room so we can work. But yet they still do it, Jumbo.
Well, the move over law was designed not only to protect law enforcement, but to protect also the motorists that we have stopped.
Right.
And since then, you know, obviously the wreckers and the TxDOT people have now been put in at the firefighters, the ambulance, and all the emergency personnel. But all, you know, it's just what you normally see. And I tell people, especially this time of year, that our people are on the highway, if you break down on the roadway, call that 1-800 number on the back of your driver license and try to get, we'll get somebody out there. If do anything, we'll try to help protect your vehicle and your, whatever's going on, flat tire, whatever it may be. And, but if you have a chance to move completely off the roadway to a private driveway, something, a parking lot or whatever, the farther you get off the roadway, the better off you're, because certainly a lot of people are moving in and out of traffic. Some are paying attention, some are not. And we're getting a lot of people that's broke down on the highway actually struck by a vehicle. So it's not only about us, but we're trying to protect the motorists out there, especially when they have breakdowns in their motor vehicles.
So 1-800-525-5555 will get you a trooper, police officer, deputy if a trooper's not available, and we'll come out there and change the tire. Now, me and Jimmy go around to different counties, and we talk to a lot of folks. Jimmy always puts out, look, here's the deal. We'll help you get some water in your vehicle and things of that nature, but we're not mechanics.
I ain't provide the water now.
Oh, here we go. Yes. Craig, we got to get this on. This is Jimmy's. Jimmy has his own bottle of water.
His own bottle of water.
Bottle water. Yeah. Now,
all of a sudden, right here from Brenham.
Yeah, that's true.
He gets a sergeant all of a sudden.
Thank
now.
You, thank you, Sheriff O'Donohue. Yeah, don't call us to, you know, come out and fix your transmission because we don't have the tools nor the resources, and I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
But if
we know somebody may have know.
Yeah, that's true. if you have your jack but don't have your four-way, guess what? We got you. If you find yourself with battery problems on the side of the road, guess what? We got you covered. If you just need somebody to stand by with you in the wee hours of the night until help comes, we'll take care of you. That's what your law enforcement officials are here for. What you think, Jim?
Sounds good to me. Where are we at here?
Okay. We got to take one more break here real quick.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Jimmy just got off a break. How long was your vacation?
I'm going to hit my farmers when I get back.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
All right.
You're ready, farmers. Okay.
We're coming back. Another round of safety talk coming up just a moment here. 979-836-9937 or email us here, mail, mail at kwhi.com. We'll be back right after this.
Durham School Services, delivering students safe, on time, and ready to learn every day. Need some extra cash? Work part-time driving for Durham. Durham offers a competitive salary and professional training. Parents, you can bring your children to work with you. And it's a great opportunity to earn money and serve your community at the same time. If you're looking for a job with flexible hours and great pay, call Durham School Services at 979-277-0090 today. Stop by in person at 507 East 6th Street or visit them online at durhamschoolservices.com.
Hi, I'm Jim Cruzy, President of Bank of Brenham. I would like to start by saying thank you. We are celebrating our 15th anniversary this year and are very thankful for both our customers and staff and for the business you've done with us and the business you'll hopefully do with us in the future. We have two products that we ask you to consider using. First, we have wonderful CD rates, in some cases 1% above our competition. If you are a saver and feel your bank isn't paying what it should and could, please check ours. Second, we have a fantastic, long-term, low fixed-rate mortgage program. So if you're shopping for a new place to call home, do yourself a favor and contact Bank of Brenham while rates are still low. Also, we have wonderful technology, but we need you. Take a minute to download our Bank of Brenham app. You will find that you can do most all your banking on your mobile device, whether it's a deposit, payment, or transfer. So in closing, we're inviting you to experience some old-fashioned personal hometown banking with all the bells and whistles of mobile banking. Please come see us at Bank of Brenham, member Industry Bankshares, 501 South Austin Street, Brenham, Texas, member FDIC.
The following is a message from the Bud Light Party.
Making a contribution to the Bud Light Party is the best decision you're going to make this year. Why? Because for every contribution, we'll give you a Bud Light. This summer, we'll be at bars and venues across the country, taking contributions and giving back with fun and Bud Light. Join the Bud Light Party on the campaign trail this summer. It's a party we can all agree on. This message approved by the Bud Light Party. Raise one to right now. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
Mike Hopkins Distributing is your regional Bud Light distributor.
Brenham Nursing and Rehabilitation Center and Traditions Home Health and Hospice will be hosting the third annual fan drive, along with their co-sponsors Walmart and Home Depot. This drive is on Thursday, July the 14th at Brenham Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, 400 East Sale Street, from 10 a.m. till noon. Please bring an electric fan to the drive on Thursday to be donated to the Washington County Senior Center's homebound residents. For more information, contact Ashana Hemphill at 979-451-9592. The electric fan drive this Thursday, July 14th, at Brenham Nursing and Rehabilitation.
J&J Packing Company in Brookshire is a USDA federally inspected wholesale and retail meat distributor specializing in pork products, fresh or frozen. Need a roasting pig or custom processing? Call J&J Packing at 281-375-6060 or place an order for your next barbecue or party. J&J Packing is a proud sponsor of the Washington County area sporting events. J&J Packing on West Highway 90 in Brookshire, Texas.
We got just a little time left in Safety Talk this morning. Once again, questions 979-836-9937 or mail, mail at kwhi.com. And, of course, Sergeant.
Get it right.
Jimmy Morgan. Got to get used to that again. Sergeant Woodard and Lieutenant Cummins. You're new. I'm sorry.
You get the first name right, won't you, Craig?
Lieutenant. I call him Lieutenant, at least.
LT's fine. Right. He'll answer the LT. Yeah. Yeah, I tell everybody, LT, how you spell lieutenant? Yeah.
That's a
big word, by the way.
By the way, Neil Pieper this morning was the winner of the tribute.
All right. Neil Pieper. Thank Country Boys again for sponsoring today's program. I reach out to them, and they're very nice people down there. Okay, we have an average of about 650 people that move to the state of Texas a day.
That's it?
And it slowed down a little bit. It used to be around 1,000, if you remember.
I thought it was more than that.
Kind of slowed down a little bit. Well, that oil boom kind of went down a little bit. Now it's picking up a little bit. But, however, we spend $32 million cleaning our state highways up. Now, we can split that.
Mm-hmm.
Go home.
Just a small portion of it. Yeah. I don't need all seven figures.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. You're right.
So, the reason I bring that up, not just the littering, which cigarette packs are one of the top things being thrown out of a vehicle,
along
with cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've had all this rain. TxDOT has done a pretty good job getting the contractors out, mowing the roadways and stuff like that. That's helped. But with the rain, it's growing back pretty quick. And it's drying out quick. We've got wind out there when it's 100-degree weather. Well, this grass is drying out. So, again, to remind people, and I've already seen it, and the reason I'm bringing it up today, keep your cigarette butts inside the ashtray. That's why they designed that thing for you, just in case you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Out there on the highway, something that people get in a bad habit of doing, throwing them cigarettes out there can cause a fire. And then a guy lost his fence the other day. Lucky he didn't lose his house.
Right.
So you don't want to be that guy. Mm-hmm. So, or that woman. I just want to remind people there. And if you throw a plastic bottle or a plastic bag in the back of your truck, you know good and well that's not going to stay in the back of your truck.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I kind of one of my pet peeves. I don't like to see the trash. I'm picking up trash from my house all the time. Yeah. But I just wonder why people want to litter and cost so much money for TxDOT to have it picked up. I kind of like it when it's. The grass is mowed. Everything looks clean.
Just keep it clean.
I kind of like that.
It does look nice, let me tell you.
So, again, that's just something we're dealing with as a state, and I think we can use that taxpayers' money. And this gentleman called in about the roadway. Well, let's spend that $32 million out there on this little stretch of roadway he thinks we need to take a look at.
That's right.
Okay? So we could probably use that $32 million somewhere else.
$32 million on cleanup.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
How much you pay
taxpayer? That's taxpayer money too, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Taxpayer money. So the people that are keep it in mind that your tax is going towards that, and you could use it somewhere else.
So a farmer calls me this week.
Uh-oh.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, Jim Bob, he says, I have a dump trailer, tandem axle, over 24. And what type of license do I need to pull that type of trailer?
Okay.
So I tell people when they call questions like that, the number one thing that an officer will need to know, what are you doing with the trailer? And he says, I'm going to haul gravel. I have a very long road that I'm hauling gravel to on my ranch. That's what I'm going to do. And sometimes I carry my farm tractor inside of the same trailer. He says, I want to register it for farm. I said, okay. Well, that's rule. That's something I need to know. So, yes, you can do that. But based on what you're doing with that trailer, it's going to be based on what type of driver license you now need to pull that trailer. So when he went over the 20,000 mark on that trailer, pulling the trailer over GVW weight rating over 20, that threw him into a Class A non-CDL driver license.
Non-CDL.
Non-CDL. Now, if he would say, Jimmy, I'm taking that trailer and I'm in the gravel hauling business.
Right.
Right? Now he's talking Class A CDL. Now he's talking Fed regs and everything else.
Right.
What a difference it makes what you're doing with a trailer.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Now, here's a question. If same trailer with that load, they're carrying fertilizer or anything like that, would they need a hazmat or anything like that? They're going to be carrying
only
anything?
If it's, you need a CDL license only if what you're carrying is required to be placard.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. So even though it's farm use, and you had to put a placard on it, would you still need the CDL for that?
Okay. Some of the tanks that use the ammonia hydrate, it has to be placard.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's a Class C CDL license if you had to pull a placard.
Even though you're only using it for your own farm use.
Yes.
See?
Craig always has a trailer question. I wonder who he...
I just know folks, man.
He used to ask about deer hunting questions.
He did. Well, that's later on.
Well,
that's game one. You got me mixed up.
We still have a few more questions. That
yet. He's ready though.
Now. We got to get a game warden around here, so I got to meet that person.
Okay,
We got to bring him up.
Actually, I have a young gentleman from Cameron just coming out of that school. So, they do have a new batch coming out. So,
yep.
Okay, well, thanks for having us back, Craig.
We appreciate you coming back, man. I was worried, man. It's been a month.
Well, you thought you were. I was going to be that guy cleaning that cans up down the road.
No,
you know, who's that guy?
No,
it's Ohio.
Not little Jerry.
No, I don't think so.
We'll find something for you.
Steve, good to see you again, Sergeant Woodard.
Good to see you, Corinne.
And Lieutenant Cummins, don't be a stranger.
Hey, I'll be back. It's wonderful. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. And closing thoughts real quick, Jimmy. You got about 30 seconds.
Again, it's that time of year of vacation. Take some time. Make sure your vehicle's ready for the trip. Make sure you're ready for the trip. Show some patience out there. Following distance and slowing down to the proper conditions of the roadway will help you stay out of most accidents. And that's about all I can offer today.
All right. Yeah, all right. If you want to get a hold of Jimmy, I'll tell you what, just send it to me. Mail at KWHI.com. I'll forward it to him, and he'll take it from there to get in touch with any more questions. This is KWHI and Brenham. Have a great day, everybody.